Let's open our Bibles this evening together in the book of 1 John in the chapter number 4, 1 John chapter 4. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word. 1 John chapter 4, and we read some verses from this passage of God's precious truth, and we pray that God will bless us as we minister God's precious word this evening. And let's turn to this chapter, reading at verse number 1. Follow us in the word of God this evening. 1 John chapter 4, and the verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We end our reading there. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. We'll just keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads reverently before the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious, the lovely name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, we bow before thee this evening. And we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee it is the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And where there's darkness tonight, Lord, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel might shine into our hearts. We pray that our God, that thou wilt turn darkness to light and turn the sinner from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sin. And I pray tonight, Lord, that thou wilt turn every eye to the Scriptures, and through the Scriptures turn every eye to the Savior. O God, we would pray tonight, we would see Jesus. And so, Lord, we commit this meeting to thee, and we pray that you'll help us in the closing moments. Help us, our God, to search the Scriptures, for we know that therein we shall see Jesus. And so I pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt just reveal Christ unto us, and that there might be the drawing unto Christ, that souls who are dead in their trespasses and in sin may find new life in Christ Jesus. Hear and answer our prayer, for we ask these things humbly, reverently, in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Now, what a privilege it is that God has allowed us to gather around the Word of God once again and to hear a word from him. There is a verse that I want to draw your attention to this evening. It's the verse number 10 of 1 John chapter 4. And what a verse it is. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. I'm sure you and I have known and experienced many wonderful examples of human love. When we think of that amazing expression of love that we have witnessed before our eyes so many times, what sacrifices that love can make, what distances love can take because of the needs of others. But I want us to go to the very pinnacle of love, because that's what we find in verse number 10. It says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, when I look at this verse, I find five simple things. First of all, I see a joyful acclamation here in the opening words, herein his love. And what we're finding here is the highest expression of love. Herein is love. Now, you and I, as a preacher over many years, and I have witnessed the devotion and the love of parents for their children. I have witnessed tremendous love and devotion of children to their parents. Ever I think of the first time that a father or mother looks in the face of their little child, and may they look down at that little helpless little baby, and there's something immediately that rises in that mother and that father's heart. It's love. And you know, friend, that love that starts there on that journey from the moment that mother gives birth to that child, it never stops, it never ceases, because a mother loves her child even unto death itself. Whether it's her death, or whether it's the death of their child, her child, or whether it's a father's love, whether it be a father's death or the passing of a father's child, that love goes on for the rest of their days. I've witnessed a man and woman standing before me so many times, and I've heard them say, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, till death do us part. And what is happening there is they stand before the preacher and they're joined as husband and as wife. They are confessing and professing their love in the very presence of the Lord and the company of the people that are gathered with them. But friend, let me tell you, I care not how strong that bond of love is that a mother has or a father has for their children, or a child has for its parent, or indeed a husband has for his wife. There is nothing to compare to this statement that is made in verse number 10, herein is love, because it is the greatest expression of any love. It is a love that God has for sinners, that God has for you and for me. Whenever Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 3, in verses 17 and 18 it says this, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And I trust tonight that in some small way that you and I can grasp the great truth of the love of God. The love that God has, that you and I could comprehend. That's what Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said. That ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. That we might comprehend, that we might understand tonight just how much God in Christ loved you and loved me. And then we can exclaim, herein is love, for this is the very pinnacle of love. You know, John in the scriptures is known as the apostle of love. You and I know that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My, what a verse that sums up for us the whole of the gospel, that God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son. John in chapter 13 says in verse 1 that Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Thank God he never stopped loving his children. And that's a wonderful thing tonight, that God never stops loving. The little children's chorus says, yes, Jesus loves me. And having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. In that same writing of the Apostle of Love, John tells a story in chapter 11 about a family. It was Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And the Bible tells us that whenever Lazarus died and the Lord Jesus came there and Mary's heart was breaking and Martha ran out to the Lord Jesus and then she ran back into Mary's presence because the Lord said, where's Mary? And Mary was grieving. She felt let down because she had sent for Jesus, but it seemed that Jesus hadn't come. Had Jesus stopped loving them? No, friend. And so we find that Martha runs to Mary and says, Mary, the Master has come, and he calleth for thee. They made their way to the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus, Martha, and Mary made their way to a tomb. Lazarus was in the tomb. Mary and Martha and Jesus were standing at the tomb. We have that lovely verse in John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. And you know, as those that were with Mary and Martha and the Lord Jesus that day, and they saw those beady tears run down the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it say in John's Gospel 11, 37? The Jews said, behold, look, look how he loved him. Look, behold, how he loved him. Jesus stood there in the very presence of death. He stood in the place where the victim of man's sin lay, because he lay there in the very jaws, in the very clutch of death. And the Lord Jesus saw what sin had done to his friend Lazarus, because Lazarus had faced a cruel and a cold enemy. The last enemy which shall be destroyed, which is death. By one man, sin entered to the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And as the Lord Jesus stood at that tomb of Lazarus that day, the Word of God says Jesus wept because he saw the awful curse that sin had brought. But you know, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wept that day because he saw Mary weeping. He saw Mary breaking her heart because Lazarus was in the grave. What does the Word of God say? We're to weep with those that weep. We're to rejoice with those that rejoice. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Because Mary was weeping. And then it says this, Jesus wept. You know, thank God tonight, we have a great high priest, his name is the Lord Jesus. And he doesn't stand coldly, judgmentally looking upon us. But thank God we have a great high priest, the Word of God tells me, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Those hard Jews looked on and they saw the Savior weep. And they said, behold how he loved him. The hymn writer put it like this, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, it reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God sent his son to win the erring child, to reconcile and to pardon with his precious blood. Herein is love, the joyful acclamation. But let's go further in this verse. Look at it again, verse number 10. The next statement says this: herein is love, not that we loved God. Friend, if there's a joyful exclamation, an acclamation in the opening words, here we see a shameful confession. A shameful confession. Not that we loved God. Now that's an honest confession. That's the awful reality of what sin has done for us. That's what sin has made us. Because sin is a cold thing. Sin is a cruel thing. Not that we loved God. God's word commands you and me to love God. Those of us who had the privilege of going to Israel, when we were going into our hotel room at night, we saw this little thing just at the doorway. Inside that little container is the Holy Scripture. And in every one of those bedrooms, in every Jewish house, there will be that little container. It's actually in many places inside the Jewish homes. And you say, what's in it? Well, turn your Bibles to it. Keep your hand there. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy and the chapter number 6. And there inside that little container, these are the words that are written therein. Verse number 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord. See the command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And those words are contained, they're written there at every Jewish home. You see the command that God commands men and women. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew's gospel? Turn to chapter 22. And the Lord Jesus was faced by a religious Pharisee. In actual fact, he was a lawyer. And having listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, this lawyer turns to the Lord Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. There it is again, friend. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's something that God commands men and women to do. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We ought to remember, we've got to love the Lord. Why ought I to love him? Well, I ought to love him because, first of all, he gave me life. God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. But not only did God give me life, friend, God sustains my life. For Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, for in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Every day you rise, every movement you make, in him we live and we move. Friend, you and I could not move without him. We have our very being. He was our creator. He was the one that gave us life itself. He was the one that gave us breath. He was the one that formed us in our mother's belly. He was the one that brought us forth. He was the one that gave us life. And every day after that, he has sustained our living. James chapter 1, 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God commands us to love him. God is the one that created us. God is the one that sustains us. God is the one that keeps blessing us day after day, every good, every perfect gift. It's come down from above, our health, our strength. God has given us these things. But friend, the tragedy is this, that whilst all of that is true, the sinful heart of man is this, that he takes all the blessings that God's got to give, but he doesn't love the Lord. Do you remember the 10 lepers? And there was one came back to thank him. The Lord Jesus says, were there not 10? Where's the other 9? Friend, let me ask you a question. Have you thanked the Lord for all the blessings he's given you? Are you conscious what God has given you today? The blessings that God has given you, that you've been able to get out of your bed this morning, that you've been able to dress yourself, that you've been able to walk to the house of God or get into the car and walk in through the door, that you're able to lift the hymn book, you're able to read the words, you're able to join the singing of the praises of the Savior. Be able to do all that. But what does the psalmist ask? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? What am I going to give to God? What am I going to render to God for all these benefits? And then the psalmist says this, Psalm 116. I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows now unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. But be honest before God, dear unsaved soul, you've never done it. You've never done it. You've never rendered unto God what you deserve to render him. Give honor to God that is due. You say, how do I honor him? The only way you can is to give your heart to Christ. To give your heart to him. Young man, give me thine heart. Give me your heart. So the word of God says this. Hear in his love, not that we love God. But friend, to be honest, you are in love. Every unsaved person's in love. 2 Timothy tells us that they're in love with themselves. They love themselves. They love their sin. They love having their own way, not God's way. They don't want the rulership and the authority of Christ in their lives. They want their own way. The Word of God goes on to say in that same passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they're lovers of pleasure. Room for business, room for pleasure. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Here in his love, yes, God loves us. There's the pinnacle of God's amazing, marvelous love. Not that we loved God. What a shameful confession, friend. You don't love the Lord, and yet God commands you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. But look thirdly. There's a blessed revelation here. For thank God it says here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Oh, what a revelation. He loved us. We've already seen that man in his sin does not love God. But God loves us. God so loved the world. You know, it's lovely when you see a mother hold her child in her arms, or daddy hold their young one or little one and older one in their arms. And you know within, friend, just before your eyes, you know how much they love them. But you know, that love of a child is something that's reciprocated, or a mother is reciprocated. Because is it not true, Mummy? Is it not true that many a time that little one looked into your eyes and you've kissed her and you've loved him, and then they look up in their eyes and they put their arms around your neck and say, Mummy, I love you. I love you. And you know, that does something in here. That does something in here, friend, that money can't give. It is love. It's love. And that child can bring its parent gladness. It can bring its parent joy. It is true also, let's be honest. They can bring them sorrow. They can bring their parents disappointment. They can bring their parents grief. But, Mummy, why do you love your child? Because they're a part of you. Flesh of your flesh. Bone of your bone. They're your child, and you love them. You love them. But, friend, here's the amazing, blessed revelation of the Word of God. There is and there was no reason why that God should ever love a sinner. Why would God love me? A sinner condemned unclean. The Word of God tells me in Romans chapter 5, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. Mommy, you love your child because they're yours. That's why you love them. She's yours or he's yours. Husband, you love your wife because she's yours and you're his. Wife, you love your husband because there's a reason why you love them. Because of that bond and the reciprocation of that love. But here's the amazing statement of God. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And God loved rebels. Men and women living in rebellion in their sin. God loved us while we were still enemies. Let's keep your hand there. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read our story, friend. Let's read my story. Let's read yours. Ephesians chapter 2. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Where in the time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit we had. We were rebels. Among, verse 3, whom also we all had our conversation or our living in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And here's a statement, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is my story. This is the one that God loved, friend. We were by nature the children of wrath. Oh God, how could you ever love such a person? Look at verse 4. But God, but God, who is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. His great mercy. And then it goes on down to verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And here we find mercy and we find grace. God loved us. He was merciful to us. God loved us. He was gracious to us. He was merciful in that he did not give me what I did deserve. He was gracious in that he gave me what I did not deserve. You know, God speaking to the children of Israel in the chapter 7 of the book of Deuteronomy. And he was talking about the children of Israel. They were a special people. And they were a chosen people. And then God said this. God said he had set his love upon them. He set his love upon them. Not that they loved him. He says, I've set my love on you. And then he goes on to say, because the Lord loved you. Lord, why did you love Israel? Why did you love that wee piece of ground? And why did you love that people that were not the greatest or the greatest number or the greatest populated or the greatest area in the world? My, they're not the Chinas. They're not the Australians. They're not the Americas. They're just a little piece of ground that's nothing in the eyes of the world. God, why did you set your love upon them? God says, I loved you because I loved you. I loved you, says God. I loved you. And friend, there's not one of us when we get to heaven. There's not one of us will be able to give one reason why God ever loved us. Why did God ever set his love upon me? Why did God reach down into the pit of my sin? Why did God rescue me from my sin and mine iniquity? And the answer is this, there's not one reason, not one solitary reason why God ever set his love upon me. But he set his love upon me and loved me because he loved me. Divine choice. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And friend, whilst I look, and there's a multitude of reasons why God shouldn't have loved me, I can't find one why God should have. But I praise God a million times. He did. He did. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. But friend, that doesn't stop there. Look at the wonderful condescension here in this verse again, the next words. And sent his son. That's love in action. That's love in action. Oh, you hear an awful lot of people saying, I love you, friend, and it doesn't mean that. One day they say, I love you, and the next day it seems to be that they stand in a courtroom and they confess they never loved and they never had loved one another. It was either a lie in the first place, or, friend, they had fallen out of love. But here's love in action. God not only loved me, but God sent his son. God did not sit idly by as I and watch me as I went to hell. God did not sit idly by and watch you go down to the depths of the pit of a lost eternity and be damned forevermore. Praise God, he sent his son. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The prodigal's father loved his son. And when he saw the boy coming in the distance down the dusty pathway, broken, battered, and bruised by sin, and the stench of the far country upon him, Yet when the father looked at him, he looked at him in love. And when he was yet a great way off, the father ran. And the father fell on his neck and kissed him. My son was dead. He's alive again. My son was lost. He's found. You see, we didn't run seeking God, friend. God came seeking us. And that's the wonder of the gospel, that a righteous, holy God could ever seek out the sinner. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You remember Zacchaeus? The wee man, the tax collector that was hiding up the tree, he heard that Jesus was passing that way. Friend, let me tell you, he didn't go out to seek Jesus. He was curious about Jesus. He wasn't seeking Christ. He wanted to see Christ. And he hid up that tree that day. And Jesus came along and Jesus stopped underneath the tree, the branch he was sitting in. And Jesus looked up. And he called him by name and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go home with you. And he sought Zacchaeus. Friend, thank God you can know this truth. Here is a wonderful condescension that God, even though I did not love him, even though I did not deserve him, even though I deserved the wrath of God upon me because of my sin, God sent his son. Here's the last thought. Here's the gracious provision. Because why did he send his son? Look at verse 10 again. To be the propitiation for our sin. Oh, it's easy to say to somebody, I love you, as long as it costs nothing. But the Word of God tells me that God loved me even though I loved not him. And while I was yet a sinner, God sent his son to be the propitiation or a satisfaction for our sins. Just note what God sent his son to be, friend. Our sins deserved punishment. Divine justice will never overlook sin. And our sins deserve wrath. But thank God the good news of the gospel is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and through his death, he made peace. Christ made satisfaction for sinners through the shedding of his blood on Calvary. How can I be saved? How can a lost sinner ever get to heaven? Man could never devise a plan. He tries to work his way, and yet his works will never save him, because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But thank God, God devised a holy, and God devised a just plan. For God is holy. And God cannot set aside his justice. But God sent his son. And his son on the cross of Calvary, in his dying in my guilty room instead, thank God he satisfied divine justice. For Christ died for me. Sinner, here's the truth. Christ died for you. Christ died in the sinner's place. Now let me tell you, there's two things here. There is God's love and there is God's justice. And God loved sinners in that he sent his Son. But God must be a just God, and therefore Christ had to make satisfaction. God could not overlook our sin. Your sins and mine had to be judged, and Christ bare our sin in his own body on the tree, and because of him taking our sin, thank God he died for our sin. He shed his precious blood for our sin, and here's the love of God, and here's the justice of God, and at the cross of Calvary, they embraced. They kissed each other. Why? Because God loved me, he sent his Son for me. And Christ died for me. And thank God he made satisfaction for all my sin. Not for some of them, but for all my sin. And he satisfied divine justice. And the sword of divine justice was plunged into the bosom of God's precious Son. You see, man's not saved without satisfaction of the demands of God's holy law. But God saves a man. God pardons a sinner on the basis of the shed blood of Christ. He died. He shed his precious blood for me. And friend, if you want to be saved tonight, there is no other ground of salvation. There is no other way of salvation, because the ground of your salvation is through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, upon a death I did not die, upon a life I did not live, another's life, another's death. Hallelujah! I stake my whole eternity. Thank God I rested completely upon Christ. I rest on the satisfaction that he made for me upon the cross. I'm saved through him. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. But thank God he died for me. He paid the price of my salvation. Sinner, do you get it tonight? Do you get it? Herein is love, isn't it? Isn't this love indeed? Isn't this the pinnacle of love? Isn't this the amazing expression of all love? All love just put into one, in one word. The blood of Christ, his love for me. He died. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What a Savior. What a salvation. Would you trust in him tonight? Or do you just intend to leave the house of God and say, listen, all right, Lord, thank you for all that. Thank you for breath. Thank you for every good and perfect gift. Thank you for all you've given me today. But God, I love me. I don't love thee, I love me. And I'm going to take all those blessings and all those good and perfect gifts, and I'm going to use them on me to live it for me. Men in love with himself. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. But friends, let me tell you, it wasn't simply, sinner, I love you. No. He sent his Son. See how he loved him. See how he loved us. He sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Oh, we often sing the hymn, don't we? My Jesus, I love you. And I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign, my gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I loved thee. Lord Jesus, I love you now. Here's my question. Do you love him? Do you remember the command, friend? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Sinner, give Jesus your heart tonight. Surrender. And come by faith to Christ. Be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet, beautiful news of the gospel. Truly, Lord, as we think about it, herein is true love. Oh, what a love. True love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, that but he loved us. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, is there a man, a woman, a young person in this meeting tonight, and you confess before God you still love your sin? You have to make this shameful confession tonight. I don't love the Lord. I love the people who come to the church. I love the people around the buildings here. I love the friendship. But I don't love the Lord. I love my family. I love my friends. But I don't love the Lord. Friend, let me tell you, there's a day coming, and it may be upon you today, this day, before the night is over. And you'll be called to a meeting with God, and none of your friends will be there to stand with you. Be just God and you alone. Tell me, what will you do then? You don't love the Lord. Then shall he say, sinner, I never knew you. I never knew you. An awful thing to be a stranger to God and to his grace. To be without Christ.